Question. This might seem to be a very obvious question. How many study the Word of God? Amen. How many understand or know the central theme of the Bible? If someone asks you, what is the very theme of the Bible, those 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, what would be your answer? The theme of the Bible. Talk to me. Yes, ma'am. Gospel of Jesus. Very good. Most definitely. Yes, my brother. Salvation, restoration. We really put into coming very close. Very good. Anyone else want to add to that? Yes. Redemption. So all we say, the central theme of the Bible, as you already said, from Genesis to Revelation, is the redemption plan. And that means the restoration of the image of God in the soul of man. Every book reveals that. Even the book of Numbers, the book of Chronicles. As we study the Word of God, we must study in light of that principle, that God is seeking to bring man back to his original glory before the fall. You agree with that? And if one asks me, what does it mean to be a Christian? The very conclusion I will draw to be a Christian is the object of my life is to please God. Pleasing God is not the means, it's the goal or the objective. Are you following me? Every decision I make is based on, is it going to please God? You remember in Hebrews, the Bible says before Enoch was translated, he what? He pleased God. And so we're going to study it today. And we also had opportunity, one of the workers put this information in Spanish, just in case there were others who might be here in our Latino community. Let's see what this works. I hope that this is moving here. Could Brother Narlin, let's see what's going on here for a moment. If you have your medical books, and there's, in the book of Hebrews, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's pick up at verse 5. Hebrews 10, verse 5. When you get there, let's say amen. Now, what we want to do is to read this together. Hebrews 10, verse 5. What does it say? Let's read it together. A what? Are you there? Hebrews 10, verse 5. You there? Let's read it together. What does it say? Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared me. Thank you. Now, how many familiar with that text? This 11 o'clock, we'll give the sermon. How many familiar with that text? Who's this referring to? Christ. What does it mean, a body has thou prepared me? Say it again. The conception of Christ, the incarnation of Christ. Now, if you had to define who God is, what word would you define God as? God is what? God is what? Now, has anybody seen God? No, except for the Son. So God is love, so we cannot see God. So what did God do with that love? He manifested it what? How did he do that? That's true. He prepared a body. Follow me. Thoughts, words express thoughts. You agree with that? Thoughts reinforce, words reinforce thoughts. So since God is a spirit, we cannot see God. God's thoughts towards us is the thoughts of love. Would you agree with that? So what God did 2,000 years ago, he took his thoughts and put it in flesh and blood. That means 2,000 years ago, God, the people saw God, love, walking on two legs. Is that all right? Is that all right to say that? So Jesus, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus then is the express image of God. That means Jesus is the very expression of the thoughts of God in the flesh. Anybody with me this morning? So since that's the case then, that God created a body, made a body for Christ, and that body was to contain the very thoughts of God. where men and women could actually see the thoughts of God in the flesh. All right? Now, so this morning we're going to deal with part one, what we call the gospel of health. Part two, we'll pick that up this afternoon. The gospel of health. There's a text which was not put in Spanish, but this was added later on. But this comes from a book called Medical Ministry, page 259. Is anybody here a medical missionary? Anybody a medical missionary? Okay, nobody's. Okay.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of you all need to be medical missionaries. You know that? Hello. Maybe the wall is going to start talking pretty soon. Every church member should be a medical missionary. It didn't say be a doctor or nurse, but everyone need to be a medical missionary. Why? Because that's the last work. So we come in Sabbath after Sabbath giving messages, and if we're not doing medical missionary work, how are we going to be expected to finish this work? See, God wanted to take his message and put it in flesh. Medical missionary work is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says here in Medical Ministry, page 259. It says the principles of health are to be what? Found where? Did you hear that? Let's read that together so we can get it together. The what? The principles of health reform are found in the Word of God. That means everything from every disease, every organ is found in the Word of God. So the principles of health are to be found not in the Encyclopedia of Medicine, but in the Word of God. Notice what it says here. It says, it is the Lord, it says here, the gospel of what? Is to be firmly linked with the... Now, even though some might not even know these books, but did Christ's life demonstrate the relationship between teaching and healing? In Matthew chapter 9, John 5, we go all through the Bible, it's replete with the fact that Christ's ministry involved both teaching and healing more than preaching. Christ act on example or live by example. That means his life was a manifestation of compassion. So the principles of health are to be found in the Word of God. Now, when we think of the role of health, it says here, here's some quote, the health reform I was shown is a part of the what? And is just as closely connected with it as are the arm, hand, with the human body. This is nothing new to some of us. So the health message and the gospel go hand in hand, right? So you cannot have a gospel without arms. That means it's crippled. So any church or any group that does not combine the gospel and the health together is not fulfilling God's commission. Any preacher or teacher that just teach only and cannot do the health, carry out the health principle, is not a preacher or teacher after God's order. Are you listening to me? Why? Because God, Jesus, is the example of that. Notice what it says here. I saw that we as a people must make an advanced move in this great work. Ministers and people must act in concert. God's people are not prepared for the what? Why are they not prepared for the loud cry? I'm quite sure you had messages after message about the loud cry. The reason why? Because we're not combining the health and the gospel together. You cannot get the Holy Spirit, receive the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit without those two components being together. Those who are a member of the remnant body. We move on. It is an individual work one cannot do for another. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting ourselves. It says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's come from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Twofold cleansing. Another statement. I'm going to move on. In teaching health principles, keep before the mind the great object of reform, that its purpose is to secure the highest development of body, mind, and soul. Show that the laws of nature, being the laws of what? Are designed for our what? That obedience to them promote what? Happiness in this life and aids in the preparation for the life to come. So the health message is not an option. It's for our good. Amen? I know it is for our good, according to that. It says, lead the people to study the manifestation of God's love and wisdom in the works of what? And that's what we're going to do with the little time we have. We're going to look at nature, one of the most fearfully wonderful bodies, and we're going to see the gospel in the body. It says, let us look at this. Notice what it says here. Lead the people to study the manifestation of God's love and wisdom in the works of nature. Can we see God's love in the ribs? Can we see God's love in the hypothalamus? Can we see God's love in the pituitary gland? Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Now, the reason we're going to study this is because I want to get you excited about your Creator, that we will have the incentive to want to live a life that will please God. Most people go to medical school, nursing school, study physiology, and they just come out with head knowledge, but never a closer walk with Jesus. And when I started this close to 38, 35, 36 years ago, and I thank God for this, you know, I studied physiology and chemistry for the sake of studying chemistry and physiology just to pass, but never understanding the redemption plan written on every nerve and every fiber. Are you following me so far? All right. Those who perceive the evidence of God's love, who understand something of the wisdom and beneficence of his laws and the results of obedience, will come to regard their duties and obligation from an altogether different point of view. Once we understand the love of God written upon every nerve, every fiber, we will relish to obey God by his grace. Remember, obedience does not earn the favor of God. Obedience is the result of the favor of God. Obedience is a result of a love affair with a loving Creator. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Keep that in mind. Instead of looking upon an observance of the laws of health as a matter of sacrifice or self-denial, they will regard it as it really is, an inestimable blessing. Look at the laws of health, not from a perspective of denial and sacrifice. We look at it as a privilege. Amen? When it becomes a sacrifice, self-denial, it's become a grudge. It's become very grudging, you might say. Begrudging, rather. Let's move on. The study of physiology. Since the mind and the soul find expression through the body, both mental and spiritual vigor are in great degree dependent upon physical strength and activity. Whatever promotes physical health promotes the development of a strong mind and a well-balanced character. Balanced character. Not just one-sided. I'm all mental, I'm all physical, I'm all spiritual. It's balance. You got some folks, the only thing they can do is preach. Some teach. Cannot farm, some cannot build a house, some cannot wire a room. It has to be balance. You agree with that? Balance. Notice what it says. Without health, no one can as distinctly understand or as completely fulfill his obligation to himself, to his fellow beings, or to his what? Did you get that? It says, without health, no one can what? This is why we're having problems in the church today. All over. I'm not talking about just sickness. I'm talking about spiritual battles. Are you following me? We find because of this. Notice what it says. Therefore, notice this. Let's read this together, those who can see this. Let's read it together. What does it say? Therefore, the health should be as faithfully guarded as a knowledge of physiology and hygiene should be the basis of what? The only time we understood, received some knowledge of physiology when we went to school. We just put that in the back. But to understand physiology is part of the redemption plan. Did you hear that? It's part of the redemption plan. So let's walk through this. In order to be fitted for translation, the people of God must know themselves. They must understand in regard to their own physical frames, that they might be able with the psalmist to exclaim, what? I will what? Praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the Bible tells us. They should ever have the appetite in subjection to the moral and intellectual organs. The body should be servant to the and not the mind body. We can read that in Romans chapter 6. We can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 when Paul said we're going to be the master of all things. We must be temperate in all things. Therefore, we must bring in subjection to the are mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25, 26, 27. As mere physiological and hygienic truths, they might be studied by some at their leisure and by others laid aside as little consequence. But when placed on a level with the great truths of the third angel's message by the sanction and authority of God's Spirit, and so declared to be the means whereby a weak, what? People may be made strong to what? To overcome, and our diseased bodies cleansed and fitted for what? Then it comes to us as an essential part of what? So let me ask this, whether you've been following me. What is the essential part of present truth? According to what I've just been reading. The health reform is essential. What does the word essential mean?
Necessary.
So wherever you go, whatever church you belong to, the health message must stay connected. If they're not doing it, you need to do it. Are you with me? Notice what it says. It says here, to be received with the blessing of God or rejected at our what?
That's serious business. Would you say so?
If we reject the health message, we reject at our own peril. I don't care how much theology we know. Is this freighted with eternity? Come on, talk to me.
Amen.
The Creator man has arranged the living machineries of our bodies. And I love this statement. Every function is wonderfully and wisely made. Every function. Who arranged this body? God did. Notice what it says. And God has what? The reason I like this, because God said, I have pledged myself, and I back it up with the blood. Therefore, since I made this body, I pledge myself to keep it working properly if, you know what it says? If, what? The human agent will what? His laws and do what? Cooperate with God. Every law, notice this, every law governing the human machinery is to be considered just as truly what? We're going to see this, as truly divine in character and importance as the what? I know you read this before. That means the laws that govern our physical being are just as sacred as the Ten Commandments. Every careless, inattentive action, any abuse put upon the Lord's wonderful mechanism by disregarding his specified laws in the human habitation is a what? We may behold and admire the work of God in the natural world, but in the human habitation is the most wonderful. And so what little time we have, we're not going to be able to exhaust it, but we're going to have a class in physiology. Is that all right? Now you said, what does this got to do with the Sabbath? I just read it. It's freighted with eternity. Amen? Wonderful man is long passed off the scene. Elder Frazee. Anybody heard of W.D. Frazee? No. He had a wonderful message called Physiology and Translation. He talked about how physiology fits in the whole ceiling of God's plan. Notice as we go to the Word of God here. The greatest medical book, what? Let's read this together. What does it say? Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So we know there's no evolutionist in here according to Darwin. Amen? Amen? Okay, I know you believe that God is the very divine power being behind your existence. Amen? That's what the Bible declares. Now, is God particular? Is He particular? You believe that? Here's a statement. To all who are engaged in His service, the Lord gives wisdom. The tabernacle to be born in the wilderness and the temple at Jerusalem were built in accordance with what? Special directions from God. In the very beginning, he was particular as to the design and the accomplishment of his work. So the point is God particular? Keep that in mind. Let's move on. Another statement. Book called Confrontation, page 84. God has not what? He is as particular and exact in his requirements now as he was in the days of what? Has he changed? He's particular. Keep that in mind. Now, God is a God of order and a God of detail. You agree with that? Now, for the sake of time, you can write down in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it talks about the creation. Was there order there? It was not something at random or just arbitrary. That was an order of his creation. That's a study in itself, the way he created man. That was an order. Was he particular in the way he created things? And there's a lesson, because even in Genesis 1, we can see a revelation of the Christian walk with God. Because every day of creation represents an aspect of the Christian experience. Did you know that? Now, number two, in Genesis chapter 6, when God had declared that he was going to destroy the world with a flood, when he gave Noah orders to build the ark, did he give Noah the privilege to build the ark according to Noah's specification? No. God gave specific specification. Amen? If those specifications were not met, would that have met God's objective or purpose, or would God have accepted it? No. God is a God of order and very detailed. Keep that in mind. In Exodus chapter 25 through chapters 27 and chapter 30 and 31, God gave a pattern for the sanctuary. Specific. Would you agree with that? The pattern in heaven. He was detailed in every minutia. That's a lesson for us. Did you know that? When you think about Christian life, are we particular? Do we mind the little details of life? As though we go through this world like nothing matters except for those things that before us. Are we so oblivious to the small things of life? Even when Christ came out of that grave, he was so particular to fold the grave clothes. I mean, he could have got up and just left it there and came on out. We have to learn practical godliness through how God created you and I and how he set the world into existence. He is particular. And even though his standards are high, he's not going to ask us to do something. He's not going to empower us to do it. So let us not become frustrated and become oppressed and suppressed because of the standard is high. What is happening in the church, we're lowering the standards to get people into the church. That's not God's order. We're changing the music. We're changing the style of worship. Now people going to church and they're having breakfast at church and coming casual, dressed in any way they want to dress. Huh? God is a God of order. He's particular. You don't come to church in blue jeans. Now, if you only have one pair of pants, one suit, you take care of it. You don't have to be into the name brand. Are you following me? You don't come anyway. You don't go to job anyway. God is a God of order. He's particular. We have lost that reverence and that awe of God. Notice what it says. In Exodus 28, the priest's garment, every detail of the priest's garment. Didn't just throw a garment on the priest. It was designed with intent and purpose. It was particular in every aspect. Anybody getting what I'm talking about here? So when we begin to compare ourselves among ourselves, we're in trouble. Because we look good when we compare ourselves among ourselves. We go to the pattern. We see, woe is me, undone. Follow me now. Even in Deuteronomy, turn there with me. And I think a brother shared this. I don't know what is. And I thought it was very interesting. I don't know, it was Brother Lemons one time sharing this. I don't know where you brought this up, but I think it was you. And that was indelibly stuck on my mind, brother, in Deuteronomy. I mean, brother, do you believe God is mindful of every detail? Now follow me. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Somebody read verse 12, 14. We got to move on. In every aspect, somebody has it. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 12 through 14. Brother Roy, what is that talking about? Okay. God is mindful of every small thing. Are you listening to me? Even when it comes to hygiene, even just to relieve yourself, God is very particular. Are you following me? He didn't say, well, just go out there and just do it. He described every aspect how to do it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That's the type of God. We don't have to go any further. You understand what I'm saying. My point is, God is a God of order, and God is a God of details. And when we study the Word of God, we must study with that mindset. We cannot go into the Word of God with our own mind. We must see through the eyes of God. God, give me your thought so I can see what you put there that has a direct personal impact upon my Christian walk with you. Does that make sense? Therefore, the body temple. That's what we're studying in this last part here. The body temple. Let's look at the body temple. We read in Hebrews 10:5, God said, a body. Jesus said, a body thou hast prepared me. God prepared this body. Keep this in mind. Our bodies, very basic text, are the what? We read this all the time, but we don't understand the weight of it. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. He created this body that he might do what? Dwell in. God never intended to dwell in buildings. He always wanted to dwell in you and I. Amen? Keep that in mind. We know that. This is basic. The Bible says in Psalm 77:13. Let's read it together. What does it say? Thy way, O God, is where? Who is so great of God as our what? So everything that we need to know about the redemption plan and what God want to do for us is found where? In the sanctuary. Keep that in mind. In the book Evangelism, page 221, the correct understanding of the ministration in the heavenly sanctuary is the what? Foundation of our what? If the foundation be destroyed, Psalms chapter 11, verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The sanctuary is the foundation. Therefore, if the sanctuary is destroyed, there can be no revelation of Christ's righteousness. And do you see why the devil attack is on the sanctuary? Are you with me, anybody? Keep this in mind. The subject of the sanctuary and the investigated judgment should be clearly understood by the people of God. All what? Need a knowledge for of the position and worth of their what? Let's read this. What it say? What does that mean? If you don't have that, it would be what? Impossible for them to do what? The, which is? At this time, or to the position which, and every has a to save, or each has a case pending. So it's the sanctuary subject. I mean, sanctuary is very important for us to understand. Amen? Not from just a theoretical or from the letter, but we need to understand as it revealed to the plan of salvation. God's restoration of his image. In Psalm 68:24, they have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, where? Sorry about that color. So the goings of God are found in the sanctuary. Is that all right? Keep that in mind. This is a wonderful text here. From the first dawn of reason, the human mind should become intelligent in regard to the what? Now, let's read this together. Here, Jehovah has given a specimen of himself, for man was made in the image of God. What does the word specimen mean? Part of. So when God looks at you, he will see a piece of himself. And it's the devil's role to mar that so God cannot see that. And we cooperate with that demon. So when God want to look, he want to see a piece of himself in you and I. Because he made us in his image. Genesis 1:26. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. He made us. It is Satan's determined work to destroy the moral image of God in man. He will make the intelligence of man his highest, noblest gift, the most destructive agent to pollute with sin everything he touches. So the devil's role is to mar that image. You follow me? So we are in a warfare. So the human body becomes very important for us to understand. Very important to understand. The ribs. We have 10 ribs. Those 10 ribs was not given just arbitrary. Those 10 ribs, the type of the 10 commandments. Are you with me? Now follow me. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, the Bible says God wrote his law with his own finger on stone. That's Exodus 31, 18. Are you with me? Come on, wake up, church. Sleeping time is over with you. Lord had 8 hours last night, between 9 and 12. Come on, talk to me. And it's just to come to church, you're going to sleep. Get up, walk around, do something. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Notice what it says. Now God, in Exodus 31, 18, wrote with his own finger the Ten Commandments on table stone. Those 10 ribs represents the Ten Commandments. Follow me now. Here, God said in Jeremiah 31, 33, I will put my law where? In their inward parts. He not only put on our mind, but God said, I'm going to put my law in their inward parts. Follow me. Here's an inspired statement. God is as truly the author of physical laws as he is the author of the moral law. His law is written with his what? Upon every what? Every what? Every what? Which has been what? So since the Ten Commandments have been written on stone, then God's law has been written upon those ribs. Now, also you find, ladies and gentlemen, that you not only have ten ribs, you have what you call two floating ribs. They've called floater ribs, false and true. And those two floating ribs represent the two great commandments. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Found in the book of Matthew 22:36, love thy God with all thy, and your fellow man all's what? On this hang the law. And when you go into the Ark of the Covenant, you find the laws between the cherub and the Ark of the Covenant is carried by poles. Are you following me? The shoulder blade is the pole in which the law sets. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Every nerve, every fiber. And you want to hurt somebody, hit them in the rib. Amen? That's Satan's attack on the law. Come on, talk to me. The five pillars. That's an entrance of the sanctuary. You see the five pillars. That goes into the sanctuary per se. Represents the five senses. Hearing, sight, smell, touch, sense. The five senses. Whatever goes in there must not defile the sanctuary. We must guard the avenues to our soul. Are you with me? We are the temple of God. That's what those five. What we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we touch. Are you listening to me? What we taste. They are sacred. Basic nature of man, physical, mental, and spiritual. And the very foundation of the physical structure is governed by the five senses. You go to the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, the devil worked through those five senses in the Garden of Eden. You read about it. The devil said, yay, he sang to that lady, pretty lady, the melodious song, she listened to the demon. Now you listen to me. And you know when she says she saw, hearing, saw, touch, taste, and I'm quite sure when she touched, had the smell because inspiration tells me that fruit, those fruits in the garden had a sweet aroma. Mango. How you know when a mango is right? So the five senses are the five pillars into the entrance of the sanctuary. The brain anatomy, because we're going to see something. We're not going to spend a lot of time. I just want to get you excited about the temple of God. so we can serve him. Watch as we go through. The cerebellum, as we look at this, the brain proclaims, keep this in mind, in the brain we're going to see here the tree of life. We're going to see this in a moment. We're going to see the altar of sacrifice. We're going to see here the ram's horn. We're going to see here the rainbow in the brain. Let's break it down. In the brain. Because we know the first thing that is developed in a child is the central nervous system, is the brain. Not the eyes, not the toes. Because God said in Revelation chapter 7, you remember that? Hold back the four winds until my servants are what? Sealed where? In their forehead. In Revelation chapter 14, you remember that? God, John said, look, there was a group standing on Mount Zion with their father's name where? Written in their forehead. We understand. Forehead represents the frontal lobe, the brain. Keep this in mind. You with me so far? The brain. Now, I'm going to go over it again. In this brain, because there are seven regions of the brain. Number seven is complete. I don't have time to go through that. Seven regions. But we're going to find the altar of sacrifice. We will see the tree of life. We will see the ram's horn. We will see the rainbow. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all of it because it's too much for us to do in 45 minutes. But I just want to give you just a token so we can appreciate the temple that God built. Are you with me so far? Amen. All right, let's move on. Remember these things. The rainbow. Right, can you remember this? What did I say? The altar of what? Here we find the medulla oblongata. We find here the tree of life is here, there, within the cerebellum. We see the ram's horn. We find here in the limbic system, we're going to see the rainbow. We will see also the ram's horn right there within the limbic system. Keep that in mind. That's all there in the brain. Remember, God, just think with me. Lord, just have a think. Can you, when you think of the human body, how intricate it is. First of all, I come to the conclusion it did not evolve. It did not evolve. Every aspect of the human body was developed with intent and purpose in eternity past. When the Father and the Son came together, they didn't just say, we're just going to throw somebody out there. This was well thought of. And it was not just from a physiological aspect, but every organism, every cell revealed the love of God. Because the body is a representation of the manifestation of God's God, goodness and mercy towards us. Are you with me? I want you to grab hold of this. I tell you, this is a passion we need to have because otherwise, if we don't get it, we would not treat this body the way we treat it. We would understand this. Keep this in mind. We find the medulla oblongata, and we find here. When you take that section of that area, the cross section of the medulla, which is there by the cerebellum, it has what we call almost grates. It's like a grate. When you look at the cross section, it's like a grate that we find here in the brazen altar. This is where sacrifice, we're going to see this in a moment. Right there in this area is where sacrifice. As we move on, we're going to see David said, I'm fearfully wonderful made. Come from a book called 16:375. It goes on and says here, when God has given us such a habitation, why should not every what? Be what? Every what? Be careful. The chambers of the mind and heart are the most important. Then instead of living in the basement of the house, enjoying sensual debasing pleasure, should we not open these beautiful chambers and invite the Lord Jesus to come in and dwell in us? Even at that brain still, we see when they open it up surgically, that's like a grate. We're going to see. We're going to combine this together. It says, as we follow him in the path of self-denial, it's talking about sacrifice. Because in that area, we're going to see there's a connection with the hypothalamus, the hippocampus, the pituitary gland, everything we do from a lower nature, which controls the man. The lower nature need to be brought in subjection to the higher power. You agree with that? So we need to lay this on the altar of sacrifice. Anybody with me? Sensual pleasure. Follow what it says. As we follow him in the path of self-denial, lifting the cross, bearing it after him to his Father's home, we shall reveal in our lives the beauty of Christ's life. At the altar of self-sacrifice, the appointed place of meeting between God and the soul, we receive from the hand of God the celestial torch which searches the heart, revealing the need of abiding in Christ. It's at the altar of sacrifice that we meet God. Are you following me? Keep that in mind. Sacrifice all to what? Lay all upon this altar. Notice this. Self, property, and all. A living sacrifice. It would take all to do what? In the glory. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Therefore, we got to ask ourselves a question. Does God have all of me? Be careful how we answer that. We need a prayer for the answer that. Truly, does Christ have all of me? And you can tell whether he has all of you. It's the way we respond to him. When God calls us, we always have some objections. Does he have all of us? The spinal cord, which definitely, as I mentioned, the first thing that is developed within that whole embryonic network, notice the spinal cord. What's the purpose of this? Physiologically, I'm not dealing with spirit. Physiologically, what is the function of the spinal cord? Physiologically. It's why? Yeah, well, you got the bones to hold the body up. It's a communication. It's the communication headquarters. That's where everything stems through the whole body. It's through the central nervous system that the whole body receives communication. Are you with me? The brain, the spinal cord. I want you to notice the spinal cord here. We find in Genesis 28, 10 through 15, angels ascending and descending, the ladder connecting earth to heaven. We find the spinal cord we're going to see is like the ladder from earth to heaven. Now follow me. In the cross section of the spinal cord, I'm sorry the color here, but there are wings like angel. When you cut the spinal cord, there are angel wings. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Ascending and descending, we find the brain is the headquarters that from the brain to every part of the body is receiving its communication. Angels are descending and ascending. The spinal cord represents the ladder from earth to heaven. Fine. Angels, check me out. Don't. Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed be the man that trusts me. Do your homework. Every detail of the human body reveals the love of God and his plan of salvation. Keep this in mind. We are to become familiar with the Levitical law in all its bearing, but it contains rules that must be obeyed. It contains instruction that, if studied, will enable us to understand better the rule of faith and practice that we are to follow. In our dealings with one another, no soul has any excuse for being in darkness. Those who receive Christ by faith will receive also power to become sons of God. Every sacrifice inspected by God, it is Christ who searches the heart and tries the ring. Notice this. Follow me now. When you open up that body, when you open up and cut that, get that cross section of the spinal cord, it says, all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Every aspect of life, God is mine. It's open up. Just open up that backbone. You'll see the love of God. Notice what it says here. In the days of ancient Israel, the sacrifice brought to the high priest was cut open to the what? To see if there was sound at heart. Open up that backbone and see that spinal cord. And see the love of God in the backbone. We got to have some backbone, brother. Spiritual backbone. Are you with me? That we can receive communication from heaven and be able to walk this walk and be particular or peculiar people in spite of what people think. Not to be boastful, but to recognize we have a particular, peculiar God. Go on. Here's another interesting aspect. This is called the Arbor Vitae. Arbor. We find here in the cerebellum, this area here, and when we're going to look at the cerebellum, it's what we call the arbor vitae. When we get a closer picture, see, the arbor vitae, arbor means tree. Vita means life. The arbor vitae, tree of life. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Now follow me. Within this arbor vitae, we find here, there is another connected, or what we call medium, called the choroid plexus. Now follow me. It produces the cerebral spinal fluid, which is found within the ventricle of the brain in the subcranial space around the brain and spinal cord. Now remember, the brain, the central nervous system and spinal cord, there's a spinal fluid that flows from that through this, which also goes through what we call the arbor vitae. It flows straight through the arbor vitae. Now you listen to me. If you're praying, you see where I'm going. There's a fluid. And that fluid is essential for life, for communication. Are you with me? Now, the arbor vitae means the tree of life. In medical terms, it means the tree of life. Follow me. Here we find tree-like outlines, a white substance seen on the median of the cerebellum. When we get to the cerebellum means the little brain, the second brain. It has more, you find more of the organs in all the part of the skull. The cerebellum is the second brain, which affects every function of our body. And the arbor vitae is found in the cerebellum, and the spinal fluid flows through from the brain through the spinal cord through the arbor vitae. And we're going to find here that the arbor vitae is the cerebellum white matter, which brings sensory and motor information to and from the cerebellum. We find then the outer layer of the cerebellum is gray matter. The inner layer is white. That's the arbor vitae. So we can go on. So when you cut it open, does it shape, look at it, does it look like leaves? Is that like leaves? That's the arbor vitae. It's like leaves. That's why it's called the tree of life. And the fluid is flowing through the tree of life. Huh? The spinal fluid, the river of life. We find around here, let's go back. I can hardly see this. The cerebral cortex, there's fluid flowing through this area. And God said in Genesis chapter 9, verse 11 to 16, when he brought the flood, he said, when the clouds come, I'm put a rainbow, I'm establishing a covenant with you. Are you with me? That there would be not another flood. That's my promise. And we find here that in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, there's a rainbow around the throne of God. This is where all the information flows from the throne of God. Are you with me? From headquarters. So we find the tree, the river of life, the arbor vitae, the spinal fluid flows through the arbor vitae, which is the tree of life. Anybody with me? It's far from the throne of God. I don't know if you're with me here. Those who have been with me here, you got to get excited about this. On every nerve, every fiber is the revelation of God's love for us. And we want to smoke pot, drink alcohol, and mess up the arbor vitae. Come on, talk to me. Eat between meals and fried foods. We don't understand the arbor vitae and the cerebral fluid. Joshua, when we go into the brain, and we're going to find the ram's horn, Joshua 6:5, the blowing of the horn to prepare, we find here, we go back, we can find here very quickly. I'm sorry, it should have been in another spot. We go back here to the, let's see, can we find it here? Because up in this area, there is shaped like a ram's horn. A horn is to send out messages. Are you with me? That's the ram's horn. And God from that headquarters want us to proclaim his good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find as we move on, we spend, because time is running out. The sphenoid bone, you see this bone here, the very base. Sphenoid bone is a small bone located in the very center of the skull. It was named for its wedge-like butterfly shape. It connects all the other bones of the skull. This bone is one of the seven bones that articulates to form the orbit. Seven bones mean complete. It's the base. That's what a bone is. We find here, wing shape. This is how the bone is. Wings. That's how the bone is. Within the body of that bone, we find there is a master gland. We find in that bone, and I'll see, do I have it here? We find, no, there's another part in it. It is called the cella trichicus. It sits in the center of that bone. Of that bone, which is not on this here. Now, as I explain this, because time is moving out, this bone, if you notice, is like wings. But this here, in the center of it, is this particular organ, which also represents, it encased the pituitary gland. Okay? The pituitary gland is the master gland. It controls every function of the body. All the master gland. So those wings represent the covering cherubim. That's overseeing the mercy seat that communicates through heaven. Could you put that? Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, you put it on the slide, then you can just go to font because it's in color. Okay, don't worry about it. All right, I'm sorry. Let's move on. But in here, we find that organ. But let's go on. So the pituitary gland, as it brought out, the master gland, sits right in the center of here, protecting, and here all communication takes place in this little house. These wings is like covering that eye, looking over that eye. Now, if you cannot get it, now, here's the pituitary gland. All of these regions, if you can understand, as we take these last few moments, all these regions here are highly connected. You have what you call the hypothalamus. You have which controls every lower part of your body. Your blood pressure, your pH, your sugar level, your heartbeat, your passion, your anger. Are you with me? That's in the hypothalamus. And we find that nerves extend from the hypothalamus to the cortex. That's your front brain. Your pituitary gland is the master gland, which sits within the base of this sphenoid bone, which is protected by the covering cherubim. And all communication comes from there. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? So the master gland, and on here is another writing. It says, as the pituitary gland directs all the function of all other glands, so does the Ten Commandments direct all the function of the body temple. It's the same thing, same principle. Let me just finish up here because we're going to move into another area. Let's finish up. So the pituitary gland, the master gland, contains every other body, part of the body. Now, there's one other part. As we finish up, we go from the winged angels on the law. We find that the brain, which is the front brain, the table of showbread, had two crowns on the table of showbread. And when you look at your body, you have two crowns, upper and lower crown. And the table showbread represents the word of God. Amen? That we should eat, right? And those two crowns, up and over, represents where the table showbread is, that we need to eat the word of God, that the word of God need to become flesh in our bodies. Are you with me? And we find, let's just close out with this last thought. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, when we talk about God's law, that he want to put in us, Hebrews chapter 8. The body temple is amazing. In Hebrews chapter 8, the Bible reads, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their where? Into their minds. And I write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall what? To me a people. Mm-hmm. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to what? God want to put his law where? In our mind. That's what he want to put the law. The law in our mind. The last point, there within the very base is a little place called the Christa Galli. That word Christa Galli means Christ's room. That's in the brain. He want to put his law there. We need to make room for Jesus in our lives. We need to make room for him. Right there in that front brain. Fine scientific study shows that the frontal lobe is a seat of spirituality, morality, and the will. With this mind, I serve the law of God. The brain is the organ and instrument of the mind and controls the whole body. In order for the other parts of the body to be to be healthy, the brain must be healthy. Let's read this together. And in order for the brain to be healthy, the blood must be, if by correct habits or what? And drinking, the blood is kept pure, the brain will be properly nourished. Does it make a difference how we take care of this body? Most definitely it does. It makes a world of difference. There was a thought here. I'd like for us just collectively read this, if I can find it. This last text, I believe, I don't know if it's in the book of Deuteronomy or Exodus, but it's a very important text I'd like for us to read together. And it's dealing with the way God wants to fill this temple. It's the fact when the temple is built, when the temple is taken care of, and I might be on my slides. I don't know if it's on the slide here. Let me go all the way down. That's the crown. It might be on my slide. Let me go all the way down here. We're going to finish this. I want you to read this last text together with me. I don't know. Let's see, can we read this last text? Narlin, could you forward that text to the last one? You notice we're cutting out everything for you because your mind is already weary. It's too much stuff for you here. We're going to cut it out. I want you, can you push the last text? One last text. Now, as you go to that last text, can someone summarize all that we just studied? Nah? Can you just hit the last one? Then I'll go back. Can anyone summarize what we just said in your own words? Now, you might remember all the medulla, the cerebellum, and all of that. Huh? Knowledge. Anybody? We got one other text. Yes, sir. Come on. Amen. Brother, your cerebellum, your frontal lobe, your Christa Galli, your choroid plexus is all working. Because you're a young man. Go ahead. And that is true. And that is true. But what I want to understand, how does that fit into the physiology of it? What he was saying, you're right. Not to take that away, but you're absolutely right. But when we're studying the human body, what I'm asking, what he just said, and also other point, what do you see? What can you summarize understanding the human body in relationship with God's plan of salvation? Yes. Amen. Okay. Very good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen.
We'll be able to understand what
he's saying. Amen. So is the health message vital? Is the health message then part of the plan of salvation? Hmm. Right back. Take us back. Yes, my brother. Come on. Providence of God. And how can, and my brother, how can one even study the body and don't recognize that gotta be the finger of God? See, only way a person can become an atheist is because they do not want to be accountable to a power outside themselves. It's no way. Even when Charles Darwin began to study the optical nerve in the human eye, he came to the conclusion, said, how can this be about through natural selection? Even that atheist came to the conclusion, there's a God. Now here we are, Christians. And we need to take off our shoes. God takes the foolish things and confound the wisdom. If this was taught in all of our schools, it would revolutionize our whole medical system. If it's taught in our churches, and if we not only get it theoretically, but if we can embrace it with our hearts, we will walk. Last comment. Let's close out with this text. Exodus, we find here, to accommodate his dwelling. What will you do to accommodate the King of Glory? Can you offer him a place to dwell? Bible says, Jesus, behold, I stand at the door. Ah, you know that. In the last text, will you turn there with me to Exodus chapter 40? Read this together. I want more and more to give God accommodation in my dwellings. More and more I study these fearfully wonderful parts of the body. I said, Lord, woe is me. For what little I know, what little I try to do, I need your grace, God. In Exodus chapter 40, and that's indeed our last text, verse 32, verse 35, the Bible says here, when they went into, are you there with me? When they went into the what? And when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the what? Round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses did what? Finish the work. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. He what? Of bringing the court, all that was finished. Now notice what happened after that. Then a cloud covered the what? Of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When we give God our bodies the way he designed it to be, the glory of God would be manifested in you and I. That's his promise. With that in mind, we want God to write that deeply within our souls, that when we leave here this Sabbath, we will leave with the recognition that we were bought with a price, no matter what it is. No self-denial, no obligation, but a privilege.